our sermon through the Gospel of John. I had hoped to finish last year, at the end of the year, but I didn't. So we'll complete it probably till February, and then we'll resume and we'll start a new series. But today, being the first year, I wanted us to just focus on something simple. And so Genesis 5:24 is what our life, our hearts, we focus. This is the reading of God's Word. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Amen. God has gifted us a new year, one more year for us to live in this world. Imagine if this should be our final year on earth. How would you like to live this year? I often wonder what people will say about me, what my family and friends will say about me in my eulogy. The words for my sermon today, the title, are the five words I wish people would say in my eulogy and write on my tombstone. And that is, Joshua walked faithfully with God. Now, surely I stand here today. I know those words are not really always true. I did not and do not walk so faithfully with God each day. As hard as I try, as much as I want, still, I fail more often than I care to admit. So if truth be told, then the words that really describe me will say, Joshua did not always walk faithfully with God. But despite my shortcomings, there's nothing that I want so much as to walk faithfully with him. That is why Enoch is probably one of my favorite persons in all of the Bible. For him to be known as a man who walked faithfully with God, that's amazing for me. Which is what I want most in my life. Which is also what I pray for most for my wife, Nadia. But that is also what I want most for each of you, for all of our members. To walk faithfully with our God. Now then, what does a life that walks faithfully with God look like? Surely there's so much more to it. But I believe there are three basic steps that are going to be the foundation, the legs, what I call, of our faithful walk with God must have. It is my earnest prayer that each member of our church would commit this year to faithfully doing these three things so they can find themselves walking faithfully with God in 2022. So what are the three legs of our faithful walk? Daily eating God's word. Second, daily praying to God. And third, weekly worship to God. These three legs are God's word, prayer, and worship. But I also want you to notice when they must happen, because that is also so important. God's word must be savored daily, every single day. For without eating God's word, we will not survive. We will be sick and weak. Secondly, for our prayers, they must be offered to our God daily, because prayer is like our spiritual breathing. And you know, if we cease to breathe, even for a moment, then we die. And our weekly worship is essential for God's people, because our Father is actually seeking and searching for people who will truly worship Him in spirit and in truth. So our message today is to briefly touch on each of these three legs to help us to commit and to keep walking in these steps faithfully this year. So let me get there. First, God's word. People of God, God has likened his word to our food, because he wants us to think and to taste his word like we do our food. We know without food, we don't survive. So even for the rarest people who don't enjoy eating, they still know they have to eat in order to survive. But for the majority of us, we love to eat. So eating food is not just for survival. Eating is actually one of the greatest pleasure and joy, satisfaction and reward that life has to offer, isn't it? See, the incredible richness of food is that there is such an abundance of variety of food we really can enjoy, even when there's certain kind of food that some people might not like. Look at the choices of meat we can have, from steak to ribs to burgers to carne asada to bacon to shredded pork to chicken to turkeys. Oh boy, I'm getting hungry. And of course, the list keeps going. You know, if you've ever been to a Brazilian all-you-can-eat meat place, you know, there is, you cannot possibly eat everything. There's just too much of the good stuff. And for the people then who love seafood, I was thinking the sushi buffet, to the grilled salmon, the Chilean bass, to the fried cod, the shrimp, the clams, the lobster, and the list keeps going, of course. But let's say you don't eat any of that. Then for the people who don't want any of that, then of course there's the endless options of vegetables and fruits and nuts and other nutritious food that can nourish us with flavors galore. Are God purposely and intentionally made the connection that His Word is like the incredible variety and flavors of food we can eat each day. So people, if we want to learn to walk faithfully with our God, then we must eat God's Word daily with flavors and aromas that tingle our sensation, that makes us salivate just thinking about it with anticipation. In our church, we recommend our daily God's Word consumption is one chapter a day of Bible reading, from Monday through Saturday, 6 days a week. On Sundays, we will eat at a gourmet restaurant and eat God's Word prepared for you by the special chef, your pastor. That's what Sunday is, folks. Please, don't think all of God's Word just tastes the same. It really doesn't. You see, to me, the Gospels taste like Texas-sized steak. You need a fork and a steak knife to carve them into smaller pieces because you really need to chew on them a while to digest it well. Then the epistles are like vegetables. A little more straightforward, stemming from the issues and concerns that are happening within the church, which most of us can relate. Then, of course, there's that big variety of portion called the Old Testament. And to me, I would describe it something like fruits. The many different delicious types for every season that comes. Oh boy, so tasty, so juicy, so flavorful, isn't it? Unfortunately, too many Christians usually eat only their favorite type of food. So they would only read the Gospel. Some would only read the New Testament. Some love history, so they will read only the historical part of the Old Testament. Too many Christians usually eat only their favorite type, which is why many of us lack a wholesome balance in our lives. We really have to learn to eat every type of food because that is how God designed our bodies to find all the nutrition we need. In our church, thanks to our sister Julie's request, we read God's Word one chapter a day with the hope to read, imagine, the entire Bible, all of us together. Isn't that exciting? All of us reading a chapter a day and within 3.5 years, we have read from all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the 66 books, the entire Bible reading. That gets me excited to see you, all of us, immersed in His Word, daily eating His Word, and the Word nourishing us, the Word building us, the Word changing us, radically transforming the way we think, the perspective we have in our world, Friends, we are bombarded with the news, are we? We are bombarded with information, whether it be the media or our laptops. So many things come blaring at us. How will we ever discern? How will we know what the straight and the narrow road really is? Folks, the Word of God is God's gift to us. And when you and I will begin to taste and eat it and savor it and truly learn to not only think it and understand it, not only believe it, but truly learn to live it. I call the 3H, the head knowledge, the heart experience, and the hands doing that. All of those things coming together in the Word as we read, meditate, understand, love, and walk. Oh, dear friends, our lives, I promise you, when God's Word captures us, we will never remain the same. God will transform us more into His glorious image. That's the power of the Word that can penetrate deep into our hearts, into our marrows, into our joints, piercing through so that we'll be able to see the lies of the world are truly alive. And God's Word alone can give us life. That's what we are after as we read one chapter a day together as a church. And it is my prayer that all of our members will do that. Now, of course, some of you know, I send you questions. Last year, I sent you questions daily. This month, I plan to send it to you once a week. After that, we'll evaluate and see what's best for us. But nonetheless, the questions I send you, they're not a requirement for you to answer. They're merely meant to be an assistance for you to be able to read God's Word a little more attentively, a little more focused, and hopefully it will help you to obey God's Word a little more gladly. That's the desire. But when you read God's Word, too often, isn't it, the experience has been, oh, I don't get it, it's boring, heard that, been there. And sometimes we read God's Word too mechanically. Sometimes we just gloss over. And that is when I want to introduce you this word. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. This is my prayer when you and I read God's Word, that you and I will pray, especially that final phrase. Let me read that. The Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And instead of Samuel, imagine placing your name there. Then Samuel said, or you said, and this is the phrase that I pray that you will pray every time you get stuck, every time your mind gets lazy, every time your heart gets shut, and every time you think reading God's Word is just, oh boy, I'm not sure what I'm doing. This is the prayer I have for us. And it is this, for all of us to say to our God, speak, for your servant is listening. Oh boy, that attentive, hungry heart to be before the Lord, for Him to speak, and for us to listen and obey. That's the Word of God. Now, the second thing I want to present to you, for all of us to always do, is this, and that is prayer to our God. That's the second leg, because we pray, when we pray, we have a God who listens to us, and therefore, we are able to pray to Him daily with all things. You see, prayer is often compared and likened to our breathing. In other words, prayer is our spiritual breathing. And all of us know there cannot be a moment when we cease to pray, to breathe, because that's the moment we will cease to be alive. Simply said, no breathing, no life. Likewise, our prayer life is really, really essential. It has to be nonstop. Of course, the obvious question then is, how can anybody pray nonstop? We can't, actually. Nobody really prays nonstop. So the ceaseless prayer life or the nonstop prayer life is meant to be not taken literally, but to understand the significance and act accordingly. Like a non-stop action, every moment of our lives should cause us to pray. Some of you might think that we will not be able to do anything in life if all we do is pray all the time. The way this ceaseless prayer life works is, whatever we're doing, we have to learn to be prayerful, whether before or during or after. See, the posture of prayer is, we confess that we're not able to do all things for God's glory on our own, which is why we come to our God, we cling to our God to seek His presence and blessing, so that we'll be able to do all things for His glory. So friends, whether we are driving or working, or maybe resting at home or talking with people, or reading our Bible, or worshiping or praying, whatever we're doing, we're to do them not in our own strength, but to pray and seek God's grace to bless us in whatever we may be doing. You know, too often, the world considers prayer like a crutch. We Christians don't know what to do, and so all they do is pray. Sure, that is partly true, but not true in the sense that the way they're thinking. For the world to be weak and to pray is to be helpless. That is true, but not true. Because we Christians pray, knowing, not simply because we're weak, but really, really knowing that He is strong. Not only is He strong, He is a God who loves to listen to our prayers. And can I even say this? He loves to answer our prayers. Hear me correctly. He loves to listen to our prayers, and He also loves to answer our prayers. But you see, our God would answer our prayers, not necessarily in the way we would like for Him to do so, but in the best way that our infinitely wise God knows to do. So you see, we may pray for one thing, but the way He answers in a much more better, completely wise way. That's the beauty and the majesty and the sovereignty and the greatness of our God. So whatever situation you and I might find ourselves in life, folks, prayer reminds us you are not alone. Folks, prayer reminds us you have a God who is strong. Prayer reminds us you have a God who is listening to you. Prayer declares to us you have a God who loves to not just listen, but to answer in the best possible way that you and I have not even conceived or understood. This is our God. And this is what happens when we pray. That is why the great Apostle Paul encouraged all God's people to bring all of our requests to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he knows this is a church that was struggling right now. There was anxiety. There was fighting. There was a lot of pain. And so look what he says. Do not be anxious about anything. You see, two of the leaders in the Philippian church were fighting. And therefore, you know, in church, when there's a fight, there's a lot of divisions, there's a lot of splitting, and there's a lot of pain. Knowing that, knowing and understanding that situation, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, what are you to do? Come together and fellowship? More than that. What are we to do? Come together and resolve? Actually, more than that. He says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your, and I added that, every, because it's inclusive there, present your every request to God. So dear friends, some of us, we feel the loneliness and the burden of life, don't we? Sometimes as men, as women, as a child, we feel we are so alone. and those who oppose us, or at least the world, seem much too strong, much too big. And prayer is a gentle, loving, intimate, incredible reminder to all God's people, to all of you, to all of us, that you are not alone. You are not alone. For all of your needs, you are not alone. You can pray to Him. He's there listening. And He's the God who loves to answer our prayer. It's like a child who's hungry and is begging just for chocolate and for candies to feed his tummy. And a loving mother might sugarcoat the vegetables, the little honey, to taste the sweet. But she won't give him just sweet candies and chocolate 3 times a day for his nourishment. He may ask for candies because he's hungry. Mom will provide delicious, nutritious food, so much better than what he's asking. That's how our relationship with our God is. You and I might be asking for candy, and He will give you something sweet. But most of all, nutritious, what's best for us. This is the Heavenly Father's heart. As His children, you and I pray to Him. That's why Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your every request to God. I pray that your prayer life will be like this, intimate, real, sweet, and daily. So I said 3 legs of our foundation for a spiritually healthy life. Daily reading of God's Word, daily prayer life, which takes me now to our 3rd leg and our final, and that is worship to our living God. The 3rd leg of our faithful walk with God takes us to our worship, and that has to be done weekly. Did you know ultimately the Christian walk is about worshiping our God? The mission work is to find and train people to turn from idolaters to the worshipers of the true God in heaven. Our eternity will be filled with worship to our glorious triune God. Of course, the worship in heaven will not be something that you and I experience here on this earth, even like today. You see, our worship on this earth is like trying to explain the indescribable vastness of the ocean to a person who has never seen the ocean with a cup of water from the sea. Sure, the salt water in the cup is truly a part of the ocean, but it does not describe anything about the 50-foot waves that can swallow any gigantic ship. It does not describe the millions of colors and varieties of fishes. It does not paint the awesome world of wonders under the water. Yes, the cup of water is truly a part of the ocean, but the cup simply cannot explain or describe the amazing world that the ocean is. Similarly, our worship on earth is only like a cup of water, trying to get a little peek of what a heavenly worship will look like. It simply cannot describe fully. Well, God is in store for us in heaven. The worship that will be in heaven will be so amazing that the most incredible blessing you have ever felt in worship is only like tasting one small bite of the most delicious food you've ever eaten. Once that food lingers in your palate, your saliva keeps coming, and you want more, right? No other food will satisfy like the one that's circling inside your mouth. The worship of God is that delicious. It is that saliva producing. It is that describable. You want more. You actually need more. When God says He is searching for true worshipers, He wants his people to crave our God like this. And he wants his people to taste his greatness that he has in store for us. That's what he wants to give. And he's looking for his children to taste his most delicious goodness he has prepared. In John chapter 4, verse 23, this is what the Heavenly Father says. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Right? Do you understand? Worship is not our decision to come. It's like entering before the King. You do not enter voluntarily. You only enter into the presence of the Almighty through His invitation, through His beckoning. And folks, even though you and I might have done a poor job in experiencing the awesomeness of God in worship, what He has in store for His people, all folks, worship will really, really touch the depths, the bottom of the heart, your hearts, and can really radically, completely transform the whole being that you are from the inside out. That is why, folks, I want us to understand God is not interested in the way many people worship today. Too many people worship out of duty, out of habit, without much thought, without much anticipation, without an ounce of joy or love. See, God wants His people, and He wants to give His greatest joy to His worshipers. And He wants His people to worship Him like there's no tomorrow, like there's no one we would rather be with, like if our life and death literally depended on it. And as much as we want to worship Him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our thoughts, with all of our attitudes, with all of our strength, with all of our joy, with all of our voice, and with all of our attention, still with love that is ready to burst out of our chest. Imagine if worship brought this kind of passion and excitement from us to Him. Imagine if you and I enter into the worship with this kind of anticipation. Like when we go to the restaurant, folks, and you are hungry, how do you enter into the restaurant? Am I going to like the food? Let me taste and see. That is not the heart, is it? When we are ready, say, for a comedy show, what are you ready to do? You are ready to laugh. Even at the silliest joke that the comedian might give. Right? When we have entered into the concert, what do? You are right there ready. You know, I don't watch many concerts, and I certainly don't watch any of those K-pop stuff, but the BTS, is it? They are a big sensation, I've been told. So I watch maybe a minute or two, and man, girls were crying. Crying because their beloved stars were on stage. And I thought, if God's people, you and I, enter the worship to meet our Lord like that, with that heart, screaming out of love, crying, weeping out of joy. Can our worship ever be the same? Will we ever be the same? I think so. That's what saddens me about me and about many of us. We enter into the worship with very little anticipation. We enter into the worship not expecting to meet Him, not expecting to receive the glory and the joy and the goodness He has prepared to give to each of His children. Without expectation, we come. With little, we need. Friends, I presented to you three things today. Three. What I call the legs of our walk with our God. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Joshua walked faithfully with God. Each of you in your name walk faithfully with God. And for that to happen, these three legs must become part of your life. The Word of God. Is this what is sustaining everything? May I invite and encourage you? Peace. If your house is burning and there's only one thing you can take with you, let it be the Word of God. If you must reject and throw everything away in life and you can only keep one, let it be the Word. But don't just read it like the way I used to read when I was in college. For me, it was my sleeping pill. I would read it to sleep. And it used to put me to sleep with the finances. I look back to that time and I am so ashamed of my foolishness. But folks, read it as if God is speaking to you, because that's what is happening. When you hear His speech, it is my prayer that He will catch up each of you in your hearts. And in His word, He will transform you. The second leg, I said, is prayer. Daily prayer. Folks, we're not old friends. When you are weak, who do you run to? When you are hurting, whose comfort do you seek? Do you call a friend? When there's a lack, where do you go? For every request, God has invited you, His children, says, present them to me. Because He loves to listen, and He loves to answer. So God's word has to be your daily food. Prayer has to be your spiritual food. But all of these things, for what? To worship our God. And that's my prayer for our church in this new year. Let worship be your sole highlight and dedication for this year. It is my prayer that you will never, ever, ever miss worship. We have 52 opportunities this new year, today being the first, to worship. And I pray your whole week should be scheduled around your worship. So be your most alert for the day and time of your worship. Free up your schedule most for worship. And so I pray, this is my prayer, that not sickness, not your busyness, not your work, not your laziness, not your craziness, not even your family and friends, who come visited you for the first time in 50 years, even them, let them wait, because your time with worship with our God takes precedence over everything and anything. Now worship can be here in person, or we could do a live stream because of our situation today with the pandemic. But worship is your first greatest love and priority. Can I invite and encourage all God's people in our church? Let's put worship at the forefront of our lives and come expecting to meet this God. As Calvin said, worship is meeting God face to face. And when we behold Him and meet Him, I am of deep belief that our lives will forever grow more and grow more in His likeness. The Word of God is prayer. Worship every Sunday. Let those three be the legs that we will spend on this year to learn to grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you patiently, lovingly, gently and diligently always invite us and call us into your presence. Even, Lord, when we have made a mess, you still delight in us, love us, never forsake us. And Lord, you call us again and again into your presence to worship you. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all of the worshipers here, for all the worshipers in the live stream. Oh Lord, will you cause in us this amazing, this wonderful commitment so that, Lord, in our lives, we would always learn to place you as the first and foremost in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. And now, Lord, as we are about to receive communion, oh Heavenly Father, will you bless each and every one of us in the Lord, the wafer we take and the cup we drink, oh Lord, may it, Lord, once again bless us to taste your brokenness and your shed blood to really, really minister to us in ways that only you can. So bless us, because we need your blessing. We pray all of these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.